Although Arizona has had only 10 senators since it became a state in 1912, those senators, which include Barry Goldwater and John McCain, have often played major roles in shaping the national debate. Joining me now to discuss the issues that are important these days in the Copper State is Robert Robb, editorial columnist for the Arizona Republican. I'm pleased to welcome him to this week's States of the Union. Hello.
Good to be with you.
So what are the top three issues that will get out the vote in Arizona?
Well, I think those are yet to be determined, and the vote in Arizona is significantly driven by our ballot initiatives. We're a big initiative and referenda state, and the various interest groups are out circulating their petitions. But in terms of the overarching issues in the federal races, we have been hit by the housing downturn more severely than other areas. We benefited from the boom disproportionately, and we are now suffering from the bust disproportionately.
Now, why is that? Arizona is one of the fastest growing states in the nation, up 40% from 1990 to 2000, and then the highest growth rate in 2005 to 2006. I would assume that would have continued and would have kept housing prices up.
The growth has continued, although it has slowed down. But the growth is an explanation as to why we have disproportionately benefited and hurt from the fluctuations in housing. We just benefit from the upswings disproportionately because a lot of capital flows in here to build in anticipation of that growth. And then when the bust occurred, with people not being able to afford their homes, with projects dying on the vine from lack of financing, with the growth rate, while still strong, slowing down, housing values have, in fact, dropped fairly significantly here. And a lot of our economy, since we are fast-growing, is built to accommodate that growth, and we're having strains in government finance of a fairly significant proportion. Next to California, we have the largest state deficit as a percentage of overall state spending in the country, and we're struggling with that.
Now, I would have assumed when I asked you that question that illegal immigration would have been the first thing you said.
Well, we are ground central for or ground zero for illegal immigration. We have the highest percentage of our population and the highest percentage of our workforce consists of illegal immigrants in the country. And it's a big issue here, and it drives a lot of, for example, the initiative and referenda campaigns that I described. However, so far, it has not seemed to affect candidate races. We had Starch, even though the voters were voting for ballot propositions to restrict illegal immigration and deny benefits and a variety of other efforts to contain the problem, it threw out of office one of the staunchest anti-illegal immigration congressmen in the country, J.D. Hayworth, and failed to elect one in a Republican district down in the Tucson area. So far, even though the public is engaged in that issue, and it is probably the biggest issue in the state, it hasn't seemed to translate into preferences among candidates.
Although it did lead Governor Janet Napolitano to ask President Bush to deploy the National Guard along the border. Was he responsive? She's a Democrat, although many people have called her the most Republican Democrat you could ever imagine.
Well, I think that's a mischaracterization of Governor Napolitano. I would say that she fits into the sort of new Democrat vogue that Bill Clinton popularized and is not in any way, shape, or form Republican.
Although she was called that too Republican in 2002 when she was running. In the end, she wound up vetoing more legislation than any governor in the history of Arizona. So she must have gotten into real differences with the Republican legislature.
Right, which is why I think it's improper to characterize her as Republican-leaning, and that was a charge made against her in a Democratic primary. The federal government has been responsive, and Governor Napolitano's actions illustrate the significance of the issue. But Napolitano herself was run hard on the issue of immigration to her right in the 2006 election, and won overwhelmingly, won with over 60% of the vote in a state that has a plurality of Republican registration. So that's an illustration of how she felt compelled to act, but in the final analysis, it didn't seem to influence the preferences of voters in terms of candidates.
Arizona has one of the highest rates of uninsured people in the country. Is health care a major issue in the state? I assume that the uninsured are mostly immigrants, but there's also quite a few retired elderly in Arizona. Are they among the uninsured as well?
Well, they obviously have Medicare coverage, and we do have one of the highest rates of highest percentage of uninsured population in the country. That is significantly driven by the immigrant population. At present, I wouldn't describe it as a large issue in the state, but one of the ballot propositions that being discussed would address the issue of the uninsured, and if that occurs, then its salience may increase considerably.
Now, I'm assuming that John McCain is going to take the state in the general election. Do the viewers like his image as a maverick? I mean, did the voters like his image?
Yes. I mean, Arizona is more a populist state than it is a conservative state. We like mavericks. We're a state that has given the country both Barry Goldwater and Mo Udall, and both of them were enormously popular. So his maverick status and sort of standing outside the establishment is something that's very popular here.
Within the party? Because when Senator McCain ran for president in 2000, then-Governor Jane Hull and some other party leaders endorsed George W. Bush for the state's primary.
But they were very small in number, and there is a faction of the Republican Party here which is very hostile to McCain, primarily on the issue of illegal immigration. But he won the state primary fairly easily, and he hasn't been run close in an election since his initial election in 1982, and even in that election, when he burst on the scene, and he'd only been a resident here for a couple of years, he won a multi-candidate race against known challengers fairly handsomely. So there's no, while there is a nosy and a faction of opposition, there's really no indication that he's not pretty solid with the electorate as a whole.
Congressman Rick Renzi, who had been co-chairman of John McCain's national campaign, was indicted in February on charges of embezzlement. Does that continue to be a major story, and will that have much of an effect on John McCain?
I don't think it will have an effect on McCain. It is a big story, and we have three of the most hotly contested congressional races in the country, including Renzi's. Even though Renzi was a Republican, the district that he represented is a rural area in Arizona that has a plurality of Democratic registration. The Democrats think they've got a good candidate this time around. The Republicans are having difficulty coming up with a candidate to replace Renzi, so his race will be hotly contested here.
One of the state names for Arizona is the Copper State. Is there much copper mining still going on? I've been to Bisbee, and all I saw was a huge hole in the ground where the copper mining used to be done.
Well, there's areas in the state like Bisbee where the copper mining has pretty well worked its way out, but there's other areas of the state where it remains active. Obviously, the commodities market is hot everywhere, so production in the state is actually up, and there is a proposal to employ newer, less invasive techniques and to open up a large new copper mine. The copper industry is a far smaller portion of the overall state economy, obviously. We've become, particularly in the Phoenix area, one of the larger metro markets in the country and even in the world.
So. And then there are a lot of high-tech firms in the state: Motorola, Honeywell, Raytheon, Intel, Avnet. Northrop Grumman. I assume that would also lead people to be concerned about defense contracts.
Yes, particularly the Tucson metro area manufacturing sector is heavily dependent upon defense contracting. The Phoenix metro area also benefits from it, but it's a far more diverse economy, less reliant on any particular leg of the economy. There's no question that defense spending has boosted the Arizona economy pretty substantially over the years.
And since Arizona has two Air Force bases and a Marine Air Station, and John McCain has been a strong supporter of military action in Iraq and Afghanistan, does that mean that Arizonans feel differently about the war than, or the wars, than people do in other parts of the country?
Well, Arizona is more Republican leaning.
Even the newspaper you work for, the Arizona Republican.
Well, it's the Arizona Republic, and I would describe us as center-right on foreign policy issues like this, but center-left on a variety of other issues, including most state and local issues. But on the issue of the war, Arizona is probably less opposed to it than other parts of the country, but that's mostly because of our political demography. I would say that I don't think it is a driving force in candidate races here in Arizona the way that it has been in other parts of the country. There are differences, they are expressed, but they don't seem to be what the elections are about.
The state's House of Representatives passed a bill last week to get Arizona out of the No Child Left Behind program. Wouldn't that mean that the state would lose $600 million in federal education funding? Why is Arizona so unhappy with the law?
The law provides a very complex set of requirements and requires that all children in a variety of demographic subgroups reach achievement scores within a certain period of time. Arizona has a very large percentage of its student population that are English learners, somewhere between 13% to 17%, depending upon how you want to measure it. And it's very difficult to have those children succeed universally on exams administered in English when they don't know English. And so there's a frustration in terms of the fine way that the federal government is slicing the definition of success and the lack of understanding of particular educational challenges that are faced. So I think it's a statement of protest. There doesn't seem to be any real willingness to forego the $600 million, but I do think Arizona's expression and Arizona's experience suggests the need for very substantial reform of No Child Left Behind on the national level. I would actually like to see it abolished. I think it intrudes in things that are best left to the state. The state has its own set of achievement standards and tends to believe that our set's better than what the federal government's trying to impose upon us.
Robert Robb is editorial columnist for the Arizona Republic, and I want to thank him for being our guest today on our Look at Arizona in our States of the Union series.
Thanks for having me.